Welcome to the 1-2 podcast, bringing you everything PSL, brought to you by Football Conversations.
How's it, FC family? Welcome to another episode of the 1-2 podcast, brought to you by Football Conversations. My name is Tise Etsomofokeng, and I am with Khosi. Khosi, how are you doing?
Hey, sharp, wena.
Ah, ke sharp. We are also meant to have Khaza on, but he's having some technical issues, so he's going to jump in whenever we've sent him the link. We've done everything we possibly could in terms of including him, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, let's move on with it. So, as I said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 1-2 podcast, where we bring you everything PSL.
Sure.
Khosi.
Eta.
It's been an eventful week.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Eventful week in the PSL.
Mm.
We kicked off with two rounds already, two match weeks.
Yeah.
The opening fixture. But I think the biggest story of the week has been Kaizer Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of us that are not familiar with the Kaizer Chiefs situation, can you please give us the background?
Mm-hmm.
Background of what the situation was all the way to the CAS Court of Arbitration of for Sports verdict that came in this week.
Okay, so I'll just do like a quick summary. I won't go into too much details, but if the guys want to check out the full story, I'm sure you can find the stories. There was even a podcast to Thabiso Musia's story, side of events from one of the Forza team officials. But basically, Chiefs signed a player or tried to sign a player by the name of Dex, as we most know him by. So they registered the player, only to find out that player was already signed by another team in Morocco or Madagascar? I think it's Madagascar, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So yeah, Madagascar. So essentially, according to the official, because I was listening to the podcast, so according to the official from that African club, they tried to sort it out privately by contacting Chiefs to alert them that actually this guy isn't like a free agent. He's signed with us. So if maybe we can maybe negotiate something and then just kind of stop this thing as it is, rather than getting it way further than it originally came to. So basically, they tried to negotiate with Chiefs. Chiefs, according to the official, said the official from that African club, he said that Chiefs said that they won't negotiate with amateurs, right? Because
what said that?
Yeah.
Kaizer Chiefs said to that club directly that they won't negotiate with amateurs.
Yeah, according to the official from that club. So he called them amateurs, because apparently at that time there wasn't even a professional league in that country. So they thought perhaps this guy he was just a free agent, even though he was playing for this club. You know, like in like Kokas, how like this, you can sign with a team like Kokas, but then it's not necessarily like maybe a real contract. You just play to maybe keep up your fitness, and then you sign with a professional team. So it's something similar to that, but only to find out that once those guys felt disrespected in that manner, they just took the case to FIFA. And then obviously, you know the story whereby FIFA handed down the sanction, which was basically they were banned from signing or registering any players for one season at least. So Chiefs obviously tried to appeal that decision. And unfortunately, that decision is still standing. So the case, the Court of Arbitration, they basically dismissed the appeal, and basically started with the African club from Madagascar. So right now they can't sign any players for this season. They'll only be able to sign players at the end of this season. So yeah, that's basically the story in a nutshell. But I believe Kleza has already also joined us, so maybe he can give us his point of view in terms of that issue.
So Kleza,
hey gentlemen,
sure.
Glad to have better late than never.
Shampara, hey, you know this network thing. Hey, sometimes it's something else.
So Jose and I have just been discussing the Court of Arbitration for Sports verdict regarding the matter of Kaizer Chiefs, and I think the player's name is Drax, the short version of the player. The short version of
Drax.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, is that player not playing?
He is, unfortunately, for Black Leopards, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure whether they're gonna field him or not.
So give us your opinion. Give us your opinion on this matter regarding Kaizer Chiefs. And what I also just want you to weigh in on is, what does this mean for let's take into account Chiefs lost out on the title on goal difference. Mm.
Yeah.
Right, lost out at, not even on goal difference
points,
at the last level. I beg your pardon. Kevin Hunt has come in, he is meant to usher in a new era, an era of excellence, an era of trophies. Bring back that trophy winning, culture of Kaizer Chiefs. So with this verdict and Kaizer Chiefs not being able to sign players, what is this?
You know, first and foremost, you know, for the sports administration directors, it's going to be quite an issue for them, because not only is it going to affect them mentally, it's going to affect them psychologically. You know, when you start off and you prepare for the league, it's not a race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You know, you have to run in a certain way. You have to move in a certain way. Present yourself in a different manner. So, unfortunately for Kaizer Chiefs, it's going to be such a big dilemma. But having to have seen their squad in the last 2-3 games that they've already played, it's not a bad squad. They can be able to compete, but it's not going to be an easy task going to Africa, because we know how competitive African teams are in terms of their approach. But now, not only that, the officials of Kaizer Chiefs really did a dilemma by not really digging into the logistics and making sure that Adam Andariana is legit. He's going to be a player that is going to be part of the Kaizer Chiefs squad and being signed and being, you know, perfectly executed into the country in terms of passport, in terms of legalizations as well. But having to not pick that up, it's also a case of Mamelodi Sundowns at some point really fell under that spell as well, with Tebogo Langerman. You remember at some point, Bloemfontein Celtics having to protest that they played him under regulations as well. So for me, it's going to be quite a big dilemma.
All right, so Jose, there are some that will say that Gavin Hunt is working with one arm tied behind his back, but there are also some that say that he knew the situation before he even joined the club, and they won't feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
So with regards to those that will not feel sorry for him, that say that he knew exactly what he was getting himself into. What do you say to that?
Look, the thing is, you come into this situation hoping that by some miracle this FIFA ban would be sorted out by the time the season gets underway. Obviously, it took a while for FIFA to hand down, or CAS, in fact, to hand down the final verdict on this Dex matter. But the thing is, for me, you can't really ask too much of him this season because he's not even able to bring in his own players. I mean, he was part of the Vets clear out, right? Because we all know what happened with Vets.
Yeah.
So that was one of the biggest clear outs in South African football history in terms of quality. And for Chiefs not to be able to get any single player from that clear out, that is hugely disappointing, especially when you were, again, coming back to the quality that was there in that Vets that Bidvest Vets side, and knowing that you're getting Gavin Hunt would have been much more at home, knowing that he's able to take maybe one or two players that he knows that he can put in whatever system he needs at Chiefs so that the team can be successful. So without that, maybe I would call it maybe a comfort blanket, it's difficult to ask for him to now start challenging for the league. I mean, looking at even the squad itself, like, it's not the youngest of squads. It's only now that we are seeing, like, yeah. So it's only now we are seeing the likes of Ngobo coming through from the academy, maybe in Jabulo Blom and all the likes. But the likes of Bernard Parker is no longer a spring chicken. Willard Katsande is getting on in terms of years. Eric Matoro. So you have a squad. And you couple that with the fact that this season they'll be also playing in Africa.
You know,
so there's more games. Yeah. Anticipated, right? Yeah. So really, it's going to take a lot for Chiefs to get through this season relatively unscathed. And by unscathed, I mean like a good season for them would be maybe trying to get into the top four and possibly challenging for a cup. That would be a very good season.
Hey, Bana, did you just take a time to get to the top four?
If you look, I'm telling you, like,
is this Kaiser Chiefs try getting to the top four?
Hey,
when you talk about big clubs each and every season, what do you hope for? Like, at the start of every season, you hope for new signings so that they can refresh in the squad. You know, Chiefs finished second. So clearly they were lacking in certain aspects, right? So you were hoping that at the end of the season they're going to bolster that squad and then add in some experience, some quality in that squad, and then try to kick on and finish better than they did last season.
Yeah, but
I think it's going to be
a big one. It's definitely going to be a big one, because when you get to look at their team. They they are well balanced, not really well drilled, but
the Kaiser Chiefs fans out there, I think the Kaiser Chiefs fans out there that will agree with me when I say when you become Kaiser Chiefs coach, it doesn't matter if you are handed two sticks and a goal, you must still win trophy.
But
you must still win.
But the situation is out of his hands right now.
Yes.
Ideally, you come into that club and then you come in with the type of players that you want to implement, the type of system that you need to win cups, right? Or trophies. So without any new signings, that's difficult to do. So we'll see. But I don't, with this news, I think it'd be hard for them to even make top four. So that's why I say a good season for them would be top four, and then maybe trying to challenge for one of the cups.
All right. So, what for players like Santi and any other player that had a temporary Naturena?
You know, when you get to look at Santi's story, he is eager to play. you know, he's been on a good run and a good form with Vets as well. Remember when they thumped Mamelodi Sundowns in the Telkom knockout by 3-0? He's been a prolific form in terms of making sure that he plays on the front foot. His overlapping runs have been quite interesting. But psychologically, he wants to play. He wants to then play week in, week out. Because now, I feel that...
But now
it's
one sign of
Italy. So no, I think it's going to be a problem.
What's
going to
happen?
I think it's going to be a problem for him, you know, in terms of where is he going to be, you know, where is his mind? Because I think he also sat down with the board. I feel that having sat down with the chairman and having to speak with him and tell him that he wants to play and where his future is going to lie, it's going to be kind of a psychological mindset thing, whether is he going to make that move or is he deciding to then just stay until that window is open and then they can be able to then just slot him in on a free transfer.
Kosi, your opinion?
Look, it's going to be a bit difficult. I think I mentioned with one of the guys that I was speaking with, like the agents of players like Shanti and Peterson are going to have to work extra hard, like overtime essentially, 24/7. Because the situation that they are in, and this is the one of our friends that Thabang Monari, I think, made a wise decision for him at that time to join Pirates rather than wait for Chief.
He knew.
Because
he knew.
Right now, exactly. So right now, if you're Shanti, you're a Bafana international,
you
right?
Know.
So you can't just go into any team, like with all due respect, but you can't just be signing with maybe, and I'm not trying to disrespect any club, but you can't be signing with the likes maybe of TTM or Baroka. That's just my opinion, right? You have to sign for a certain standard of the team, right? So even then, your negotiating power is severely hampered because now all these clubs know that, okay, that option of him going to Chiefs, it's no longer there. He's coming coming to us a bit desperate. So even the money part of that equation, it becomes a bit more complicated because these teams can maybe try to take advantage, knowing full well that it could be a situation whereby it's just for 1 year or one season. So why would they want to pay him that full amount? So it's going to take some creative thinking to get a situation whereby I heard Gavin Hunt was talking about the possibility of those players going out on loan. But how many teams will be willing to help out Chiefs in such a situation?
Yeah.
And you know, for it won't be for free.
Is it not possible for these guys to sign a
pre-contract
like that? Like pre-contract with Chiefs and then they go and they sign a 1 year deal with another football club. And then that football club makes a deal with Kaizer Chiefs where they share the wages.
It
could work in the advantage. It could work in the disadvantage department because I feel that the club that will be having that player will also be kind of said to let go of the player. But they'll know under which restrictions that they've gone under anyway. Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why most players or most clubs, they don't sign 1 year deals. Like 1 year deals are meant maybe for aging players, not players who are already in their peak. So it's not an ideal situation because you'll never know what's going to happen. What happens when the player gets seriously injured during that 1 year spell? Where is it now a case? Because things like that, you have to think about things like that because will Chiefs keep their end of the bargain and take that player into their side? So there are so many questions right now. There are so many unanswered questions. So that's why I say guys like Thabang Monari, they did themselves a favor by just eliminating themselves from that equation. Because now, if your shanty, I'm sure you will find a club, there will be a solution that will be made, but it won't be easy. And we are talking now, we are two games in, plus an MTN 8 semi-final. So the season has already started, and you have just been basically training with a team that you won't be playing with.
Come on.
I don't know,
Come on, he needs to play. He needs to play. The type of player like him needs to play. He needs to play. We can't be sitting out. They have to find a solution for him.
Hey, we'll see. But it will be interesting. It will be some interesting few weeks to watch what happens with these players. That's for sure.
I mean, he's as a player.
All right. When it comes to Kaizer Chiefs, I guess we'll just have to see how the season pans out.
But I think Lindani would have also kind of said a lot of things. You know, you remember Lindani.
We invited him to the show, and he declined. He declined.
Oh, wow!
So, yeah, no, he passionately declined to join us. He's just another angry Kaizer Chiefs fan at the moment.
He loves Kaizer Chiefs. That guy with everything.
Let's catch our breath, and FC family, we'll be back after the break.
Sure.
You're still tuned in to the 1-2 podcast brought to you by Football Conversations.
All right, FC family, now we are back, and let's get straight into the action. The DStv Premiership kicked off this past weekend with the first round of fixtures, and the second round of fixtures coming in on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. So we'll go back as far as Saturday. You know, the blockbuster opening game, biggest game of the weekend, Kaizer Chiefs versus Mamelodi Sundowns, with Mamelodi Sundowns just playing in a beautiful 3-4-3 formation and just absolutely schooling the Glamour Boys. Goals by Kittens, Peter Shalulile, Kermit Erasmus, and current footballer, South African Footballer of the Year,
Sembozwa.
Give us your thoughts on that.
I think after, of course, having, you know, not perfectly executed their plan in the MTN 8, I feel that it was a question of whether will they also be playing good attractive football in their next encounter. I always allude and say that players need be not be told to be pumped up and get into the mood in terms of these games of this stature. Unfortunately, the environment wasn't hostile in terms of the fans and the atmosphere, but I feel that Mamelodi's Sundowns' approach was fantastic. They played on the front foot. They made sure that they unsettled Kaizer Chiefs, especially from the first whistle. They played quite a high line. They pinned them back into their own half. Look, Katane was back into the side. I feel that Gavin Hunt was also trying to see whether can he combine him and Barkas in the middle of the park, and then made some couple of changes in the second half, and he included the likes of Blom. I feel that Ngobo was exceptional out wide there. He really was influential in terms of exploiting those gaps and spaces behind Mamelodi Sundowns. But a well-balanced Mamelodi Sundowns team. They didn't panic. They moved the ball well. They got into Kaizer Chiefs' final third with ease. And, you know, when Mamelodi Sundowns play that type of football, it is rare to really beat them. But I feel that the approach, the tactics, the tactical side of things, they really went back to the drawing board. It was textbook stuff. They made sure that they dominate the game. They dominate the midfield battle, the aerial balls as well, the crosses in and in between that last line of defense, and Shishi, and as well as, of course, the likes of Kemet Erasmus also playing a significant role. Look at what Peter Shalulile did to that defense of Kaizer Chiefs. He made life difficult for them because he was a predator and a poacher. He played right off the shoulders of the last line of defense, and they couldn't really man-mark him. Cardoso, at times, he was incomplacent, was found wanting, ball watching, late. And when you are late to a team of Mamelodi Sundowns' stature, even with their bench, it's like for like when you substitute. So for me, I think Kaizer Chiefs, really, Gavin Hunt, unfortunately, in that aspect, was under immense pressure. Even in the second half, even when they were chasing the game, I think it was a little bit too late.
Yeah. Mm. All right. And then moving on to the next fixture, Rossi, Bloemfontein Celtic and Golden Arrows playing a 1-1 draw. Letswalo scoring in the 59th minute, cancelling out Makubela's 16th minute opener. How was that game?
Bloemfontein Celtic, as we have previously stated, like, they always find a way. They are one of those teams that never gives up, even though there might be some unfortunate things happening within the club itself. If you're Golden Arrows, you score early, 16th minute, you expect maybe to hold on to that lead, or at the very least, try to score another goal to make the game a bit more safer. But yeah, Bloemfontein Celtic, they have that never say die attitude. I really don't know where they get it from. big ups to Bloemfontein Celtic for continuing to fight, especially knowing that the following this weekend they are still going to play in the MTN 8 semi-final. So it just shows their spirit and their spirit and the coaching of John Maduka at work. So I thought it was a good result for Bloemfontein Celtic. It's a good result in the sense that you must remember this is Bloemfontein Celtic that
at
has
home.
Yeah
at home.
But at the home part, it's no longer a factor, because if you're talking about last season, whereby you had the fans going wild, the stadium is near capacity, then you can say, yeah, at home it's a problem. But there are really no more home games in world football, or most of world football. If you go to Kaizer Chiefs Stadium, it's empty. So it's not like there's a 12-man cheering on that team. It's basically men for men right now. So home games no longer really matter in world football, or most of world football right now.
All right. So, yep. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I don't want to be out a bit, but with Bloemfontein Celtic sitting on 13th spot and having 1 point, coming into this encounter this weekend, I would have felt that maybe probably that win could have also given them a little bit of moral booster, but. It's a case of now having to adjust a little bit, because cup games are not the same as league games. You know, out of the domestic side of things, the intensity and the tempo of the game is different. But I slightly feel for Bloemfontein Celtics having to draw at home.
All right. Okay, Cesar, we're going to stay on you. And let's just break down table topping Baroka. table topping Baroka beating Maritzburg 2-1. Another debutant scoring this past weekend, with Ali Meza scoring in the 5th minute, but his effort not enough to bring his team back into the encounter. Mbunu and Mkaka. Is it Mkaka or
no? No, it's Mkaka. It's Nkantamka. Yeah.
Okay, those two scoring in the 10th and 57th minute respectively, coming away with all 3 points and making sure that they have 100% record in the DStv Premiership at the moment. How did you find that game?
I felt that Baroka really wanted it more. They showed more eagerness, they showed more purpose, they were intellectual.
Yeah.
They wanted it more. Let's be honest. Look, if you're a team like Baroka, having to play two games back to back and getting 6 points, that tells you a different perspective.
Was that not a they had 33% possession.
That's the most important part of things. Whereas you can
their pass accuracy was 64% versus 82% of
Maribor. Look, you can dominate the game. You can have the ball possession. You can create chances. You can get into the box. You can be wise. Mm. But at the end of the day, one goal out of one counter attack changes the whole stature of the game. Because now, Baroka went into in front and also Black Leopards trying to catch up with the game. Baroka then all of a sudden, then were two up. It changes the whole stature of the game, not only in terms of the way you will manage the game, but now things are different because now the coach has to change a little bit in terms of his tactics. And that on its own makes the team that is in front to have more confidence, whether they are defending deep or whether they're trying to hold on to the goals that they have and try and catch the other team on the counter, which nearly simultaneously happened against TTM and Mamelodi Sundowns past week. TTM having to sit and absorb pressure and try and catch them on the counter. So that's another one. I'm just paraphrasing it. I'm just trying to show you a picture here why Baroka wanted it more. And why they had the belief of saying, you know what, with these two games, we're sitting up top, and we know that Mamelodi Sundowns obviously are sitting second spot, and we know that Mamelodi Sundowns is a quality team. So us sitting there in the top eight, probably for the first five games, means that we have a clear vision and a clear way of going this season.
Can I just say something? Because I just want to take it from another perspective in terms of Maritzburg United. Mm. Like, I think you guys know that I like this player, Judas Musiamedi, right? He always terrorizes Chiefs and sometimes even Sundowns. Mm. But at some point, players like him, it needs to change from just terrorizing those two specific teams to actually finding consistency in games like this. Mm. Because you can't just be a one-trick pony in this league whereby you just score against the big clubs. Because at the end of the day, you can win against the big clubs, but what does it really do at the end if you're still not being a factor against a Baroka side? So from my perspective, I'll be if I'm the coach of Maritzburg United, I'd be slightly worried that one of my best players only is able to compete when it's at the big stage, but when it comes to teams like Baroka, it seems like he's not really up for it. Mm. So that one aspect that I would hope that Maritzburg is able to improve upon, and Judas Musiamedi to take his level a bit higher than just being the guy who scores against Chiefs and occasionally Sundowns.
He needs to.
All right, Kosi, staying with you. Mm. We have Cape Town City finishing 1-1 with Chipa United. From Danzani and Quim. How was the game? I mean, we saw. Cape Town City dominate proceedings from start to finish, but they couldn't get that winning goal to give them all 3 points. How was that for you?
Look, Cape Town City, for me, it's one of those teams that you'd expect a game like this, they would easily take away all 3 points because we know the quality that's within that club. And with all due respect to Chipa United, it's not even a match. It shouldn't be a 1-1 draw. If you're looking at, like, one of the things that I forgot to even mention last weekend, last week when we were talking about Cape Town City, like, that team has so many quality players, from the goalkeeper, Peter Lewinberg, who I think is up there in terms of the best goalkeepers in the league, to Thabo Naudada, who we spoke about. So these are quality type players, but for whatever reason, I'm still not 100% certain that the coach that they have, Jan van Rij, I always have a problem with pronouncing. I'm not 100% sure that is the man. Is he better than Benny McCarthy at his pump? I'm not really 100% certain that he is, but maybe he can still prove me wrong, because these type of matches he's supposed to be winning, in all honesty.
Okay, all right. No, I hear you.
Yeah.
Orlando Pirates and Amazulu, the big spenders,
new owners, my team,
new players, everything. Drawing 1-1 with Orlando Pirates, with an old boy coming back to haunt my club. Mahango was opening the scoring with an 18th minute penalty, and Letono Lamajoro scored 33rd. How did you find
that? I'll tell you the truth. It wasn't really Orlando Pirates' best game. I feel that they came, you know, at some point, and then they faded away. And then Amazulu, at some stage in the game, they were the ones that were in the driving seat as well. But the officiating on that game, it had a lot of noise.
Are we aiming the referee now? Okay, what happened?
Yeah. Our goal, man, the goal that Orlando Pirates got. It was a little bit harsh, you know. He was fouled outside. There was no way that was a penalty to Orlando Pirates, and unfortunately, you know, that's just something else, you know.
Think it's time for VAR.
I feel that we could go there, even though they will hit people with chairs, the referees will have bandages in their heads. But VAR is needed here in SA.
But guys, do you know how much VAR would cost?
No, we understand that.
And that's not to say that the PSL couldn't afford it, but it's still a big price, because I think someone posted online saying that it will be like 20 million a season rents. I'm not sure that many clubs or the PSL will be in a hurry to take out that 20 million.
From 15 million, it went straight up to 20 million.
Yeah, somewhere around there, but it's still too much for the PSL.
Yeah, but I feel that Orlando Pirates, other than that goal, it wasn't one of their best games. They really didn't perform in the highest quantity. I feel that they didn't really get behind the defense of Amazulu as much as possible as they would have loved to. Nemela, he was really making life difficult for Hlatshwayo. At some point, the shape as well from Orlando Pirates really wasn't one of the most structured shape. I feel Makaring at some point was giving the ball away cheaply. His defensive duties weren't that influential. Ben Mutware, having got the man, awarded the man of the match in that game, he was the one that really was the engine for us, but Lipasa coming on and not really having to settle in the game as well. Yeah, so Amazulu against Orlando Pirates, nah. I feel that Orlando Pirates, with the quality that they have, they should have done better. Yeah.
Oh, this business of
I think they spoke to Zinabawa. I think they spoke to him, and once you, hey, it's just that Orlando Pirates is
But can I ask, don't you think, like, if you have Hlatjwa and Jele, don't they like bring, don't they bring like the same dynamic? Because both are not the most mobile players. So if you put both of them,
they just mark. Mm-hmm. They are players who are just hard, and they are there to make sure that they clear the ball. Exactly. They're not really good in terms of being quick in their feet. But I feel that they are resilient in terms of man marking and making sure that they are first men on the ball aerially. They are quite strong. And unfortunately, the coach right now is sitting on another aspect, whether is he gonna play the captain or is he not gonna play the captain, because he's really making a lot of changes thus far with new players also coming in.
Okay, and then Khosi, you know.
Yeah,
like we predicted, but
Matatanta against the Black Lakers. With Onesmo Passera being sent off in the 60th minute. A brace by Bradley Grobler, one of the most strikers that we've
Look, how was that for me? I'd be very much worried if you're a Black Leopards fan, because Black Leopards, I don't know, like, right now they are losing games back to back, and it's not even they don't look like they are in it. I mean, if you look at this game, Basera got a red card right in the 60th minute, but they never amounted any fight against SuperSport. You think if a team gets a red card, and particularly at 1-0, it would give you a slight advantage to try and get the equalizer, even a winner. But what ended up happening was Bradley Grobler got his second goal, right? So if for me, it's SuperSport will do what SuperSport does against this Black Leopard side. But Black Leopards, like, after hearing some of the noise, particularly from when they launched their kit, that this season will be different. I'll be very much worried if I was in their camp right now, because and we'll discuss the next match, but it's back-to-back losses for them, and really it doesn't look too pretty if you're a Black Leopards fan right now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Keza. the team
yeah,
that Khosi was backing.
Yes.
And they're actually sitting fifth right now. Morocco Swallows playing out a 1-1 draw with Stellenbosch FC. How was that game? Goals by
it was an exciting game. It was end to end stuff. Both teams really showed how creative they can be, how smart they can be going forward. And it was a very interesting battle in the middle of the park, whereas by you can tell that at some point Morocco Swallows, they were the ones that were dictating and dominating the pace of the game, and they were the ones who geared up a notch in terms of the intensity as well. But Stellenbosch's midfield, I was quite fascinated about them, because they came back. They also played on the front foot. They made sure that they win the ball back. Joben Johannes as well, in terms of his leadership qualities and his experience in the DStv Premiership. Remember, before it became that, it was the Absa Premiership. It was he knows the ins and outs of the league as well. So for me, it was end to end stuff. Both teams showed they showed a good brand of football and how they can be able to maneuver and play on the front foot. So unfortunate that Stellenbosch in their second encounter as well fell to another draw, but it tells you a different perspective view when you get to look at how the approach from both the coaches, Steve Barker and Alejandro, I call him that because I always say that he's a hostilical coach because of his ways of thinking. With Lebohang Mokoena's ability of going forward, he's picked it up and he's made him to be on a great form. But for me, it was a great game after all, even though they shared the spoils. it made them to also have a certain confidence going forward.
Jose, before we go to a break, TTM versus TS Galaxy playing a 1-1 draw. Tell us about
the backlog of people who bought premiership statuses. Look, you know what I'm going to say, ne? TTM, ne? I that is like most people's butt of all jokes, but that team, we still have to remember that there's still Ngele, Moholodi Ngele, and he scored. Yeah. So there's still quality in that team, and if the problem is the administrative side of things, because those guys, they can't get away from their own problems. But if you look at the team, and if they are able to keep that team together, which I still think it will be a mammoth task with all those things happening, they should be able to. They should be able to get some surprise victories or something like that, but I still put them as my number one target to be relegated, to be honest. But look, 1-1 TS Galaxy. TS Galaxy. We'll talk about them in the next segment when we talk about the next few games. But at least TS Galaxy, I know what they are known for, having seen them playing in the Nedbank Cup final and winning against Chiefs and all that story. But with TTM, it's still a puzzle for me in terms of what goes on upstairs there.
All right, FC family, we will be back with the midweek fixtures after this.
You're still tuned in to the 1-2 podcast, brought to you by Football Conversations.
Welcome back, FC family. You are still tuned in to the 1-2 podcast, bringing you everything PSL as we cover the action in the DStv Premiership. So, Keza, we were just discussing the plight.
Yeah.
Yep. Black Leopards, and we were just discussing the might of Baroque being the tabletop giants that they are right now. Baroque got an away win. Baroque got an away win at Black Leopards. Black Leopards.
No, they have one goal. Yeah,
scored a goal.
They
scored a goal.
No, they've scored against Baroque in their 3-1 loss.
No, they haven't.
You're saying that? Oh,
no.
So you're not counting it? Oh, okay. I thought I should give it to them, you know.
No, it's an own goal.
You're right. No,
it's an own goal. They haven't scored a goal yet, unfortunately.
One thing that Baroque will not be happy with is not keeping a clean sheet. You know, an element of fortune, when it happens, it happens. Fortuitously, at some point, you get lucky in the game, whereby a slight deflection comes into play, your handball happens, you get hacked in the box, or you buy the referee, and the referee gets bought. But I feel that having scored 3 goals, Baroque FC have really amped the antics a little bit in terms of their confidence, having to be confident in front of goal, having to make sure that whenever they get into the final third, they calm themselves down, they are composed. It was a great game for them because of the way they dictated the goal side of things, having not dictated and dominated the ball position, but in terms of committing less fouls and getting set plays, it was quite important for them getting shots on target and having to put the ball behind back of the net. So for them, having, like I alluded, having to sit on top of the table thus far, it is a certain direction for them. And the coach knows what's at stake. Tanta Mgaga is one of their players who is on a good current form for them in terms of how the team will tick, how the team will buzz when he is in the mood, when the ball is on the move. He's also involved in those trigonometries and triangles, those diamond shapes, and having to make sure that they attack as a unit and defend as a unit. But in that game, having to have scored those goals and having to make sure that they can be able to then dominate Black Leopards in that fashion. They too, Black Leopards, know that it wasn't a decent game for them, because they also created a couple of chances that could have made the game a little bit balanced. But unfortunately, it wasn't to be. And Baroka wanted it more.
Mm. Mm. So, Jose, moving on to the next picture. We had Kaizer Chiefs going away, and coming away with all 3 points. With a 1-0 win. My thing about Chippa United is they had no shots on target. The one attempt on goal
Look, I...
Like, you meant to score in the opposition net, not you. You're meant to...
I guess to it was a day of own goals that day. No,
but be honest, look, Chiefs. Chiefs had 9 shots on target. Chiefs peppered them. And I, you know, humble opinion, the young boys in Norwood and Blom were by far the best players.
There was a point where...
To be honest.
There was a point where... nutmegged one of the Chippa United players, and everyone was going wild. I knew. He irritated. You want to keep his team.
It's a kitchen. Why did you say kitchen?
What is wrong? How to work out? Like, why would you use terms like nutmeg? No. Nobody gets nutmeg in this.
Okay, I'm sure I feel like I should know when anyone has but. But look, man, it was like Chiefs, they were very much unfortunate not to have scored more, because they created so many chances. Mm-hmm. At one point, I think it was Manyama who hit the crossbar with a free kick. And they were looking threatening for most of that game. It's just that Chippa just came there to be cones essentially, because they never really attacked or did anything. So it was basically attack versus defense. So Chiefs were allowed plenty of the ball. They were able to do what they wanted to do. Unfortunately, maybe the Chiefs are still missing Nokovic, who was one of the top goal scorers. So hopefully once they get him back, maybe they'll start banging in some few goals here and there. Because, I think Leonardo Castro is still a suspect for me. And then obviously... he hasn't hit the same strides that he hit at Sundown. So unfortunately, if you had a choice between him and Nokovic will take it right now, even though he missed a great chance also him in the previous tackle running. I think it was against Vitz. So, but the goals say that he was one of the top players of the season. So, if you can plug him in there, you would expect Chiefs, if he was available, you would expect Chiefs to have easily won this game 2-0 or 3-0.
Yeah.
Keza. Maritzburg lost again. Yeah, Maritzburg lost again. This time to Cape Town City. And I believe another goal by Ndjanvan. They suffered a red card on the 44th minute. But they were losing long before that, because Ndjanvan scored in the 10th minute. What's going on? Eric Tinkler was up for coach of the year.
I feel that his match against Kaizer Chiefs kind of also played a derailment in their structure. I feel that it's also a case of his approach in the Cape Town City match. Remember that we also predicted that Cape Town City might do one on them in terms of getting the 3 points. It's an away game for Cape Town City. Maritzburg at home, having to suffer a loss at home, it's really not one good thing that can happen, especially for a coach of Eric Tinkler's stature, because we know of his accolades as well in terms of the way he's approached the football world under, of course, Roger Desai. At some point he was Bafana Bafana International, playing in the heart of midfield with the likes of Dumisani Ngobe, Dr. Khumalo, and him having to suffer another defeat means that he has to go back to the drawing board and try and fix the mental side of things in terms of his team. But Cape Town City rising to the occasion, making sure that they get the 3 points, the valuable 3 points from Dantsane, so ever excellent in terms of his offensive side of play. No doubt that we know what he's capable of doing. Kize on that right back position, we know that when he was under Eric Tinkler's management side and Benny McCarthy, he was getting regular call-ups to the national team, even though a lot of people really didn't really feel that he's a player that can fit in the Bafana Bafana setup. But I think that... Yeah?
Be included? Included?
Yeah, Mkhize.
Are we talking about Mkhize, right? Yeah, I also don't think he should be playing for Bafana. He's not.
A lot of people really didn't feel that he could be playing there and all of that. But for me, I think under...
for anyone...
Yeah, come on. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. He did have a pretty good game. He was well balanced, well solid. At times, he wasn't overzealous and he wasn't adventurous. You know, he kept his cool. Yeah.
That's my problem. He's adventurous.
But gents,
full backs, modern game are meant to attack.
But gents,
he doesn't.
But gents, are we still like, you know, like Bafana Bafana right now? Anyone can get in. Like the squad now. It's not.
Come on.
What are you trying to say?
No, I'm thinking like if a guy that we never knew about, who played for Netherlands, can just come here and or whatnot. Anyone can get in. I'm just
talking
saying
about that white guy.
Which guy?
Yeah, a certain last.
Yeah, he's talking about that right guy.
Daigo, whatever his name. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm not being racist. Okay, fine. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's move along. Cesar. So Orlando Pirates played a 1-1 draw with Stellenbosch. Now Nyauza has to chip in with the goals. That's how bad it is in Pirates. You know what I mean? What's going on? It's the second goal on the bounce.
At first, you know, I'm gonna say that was another game that Orlando Pirates, they didn't play enterprising football. They really want fantastic in terms of the way they normally play their football. We know Orlando Pirates, when they get inside that box, they are able to convert their chances. But with that goal that Nyauza scored, it's a scrappy goal. Mm. It's a scrappy goal. There was a lot of pushing, a lot of mistiming of the ball as well. I think it's Fujitsu's fortune. He also was amazed that the ball went into the back of the net, courtesy, of course, of a set play that Stellenbosch were poor in terms of defending, a little bit of ball watching. They were incomplacent at the back there. I feel that they didn't really anticipate the ball well. Their reaction was quite slow, but Nyauza was the one too quick in terms of reacting. And Stellenbosch came back. They came back after that, and they showed how bad that they could get back into the game. And at home again, Orlando Pirates at home means that it's another case for them, and the coach is not pleased with the performance as well. I feel for him because he knows what Orlando Pirates are capable of doing because of the quality that they have all around them. I feel that at times Zuko Banja wasn't really complete. There was a goal line clearance as well from Stellenbosch after the Lepasa went in back into the defense and beat Jobin Rohanes. But Orlando Pirates yet again with another draw, a 1-1 draw. It's going to be quite interesting to see, because now they win this midweek clash, they go into the semi-final derby MTN 8 with a different mindset, a confident booster as well. But we know games like those, like I alluded before, that you self-motivate yourself. You know, the coach can only do a certain part, but you self-motivate yourself because it's a big game. A big game, seriously. But Orlando Pirates not convincing in this matchup again, yet again. And Stellenbosch, for them, going back home with a draw means that it's going to be another moral booster for them.
All right. So, Jose, Mamelodi Sundowns do 0-0 with KCM. Same shape, same starting 11 as the Kaizer Chiefs. Same intent from what I saw, but somehow the boys from Klerkop weren't able to get that ball into the back of the net.
But I even after the game, because I was in the post-match conference, even after the game, the coach, Coach Mangoba Mngethi, was lamenting the lack of chances that they created. Like in the first half, he was talking about how they were able to create some few chances here and there, but they weren't maybe as clinical in terms of the final ball or getting it into the back of the net. But checking out even the stats themselves, if Sundowns, with the amount of attack talent that they have, you'd expect far better than just 7 shots and 3 on target. So yeah, it was one of those games. Like I don't know, like this is what I fear about Sundowns this season, right? So with the Kaizer Chiefs match, obviously there, as Mikhez was talking about, those type of games, it's not a problem to motivate the players, right? But I think we're going to have one of those inconsistent seasons whereby we can beat the likes of maybe Chiefs, even Pirates. But then against teams like GTM, we might find ourselves struggling a bit. And I still think like this three coaching setup, it's going to be interesting to watch, because that's...
So wait. So you're not... Mentioned 3.
Yeah.
When Sundowns beat the Chiefs 3-0, there was no 3 coaches. No. But now, because Sundowns jumped
up points. No, listen. The thing is.
So wait. So when they win, what I want to understand, if they win, they are the 3 guys, man. And then when they drop points, they are the 3
guys. Listen.
Guys, make up.
No, I'm not saying they are the 3 stooges or the 3 wise men. What I'm saying is, Let me explain, right? Once you have a setup like that where you have 3 coaches, right? The problem is that it gives players an easy way out in the terms of if things are going well, everything looks fine and no one is complaining or anything like that. But if such results happen, more or less, let's say if they get 2 or 3 of these results in the next coming weeks, These of results, these are the ones where you start hearing funny stories about, yeah, but this coach said this thing and then this coach said another thing. And this is the type of thing that I never truly liked about having more than one coach, because I always believe like you have to have that one voice that stands above the rest, right? So if you have three voices and it's easy to misconstrue certain instructions, right?
Mangoba is the voice. We all know this. We've been told this. Mangoba gets the last say. So
I'm telling you.
Pussy, you're a Sundowns fan, right? You're a Sundowns fan, right? And so am I, right? And so am I. Are you telling me that we haven't had games like this?
No, I'm not saying it was peaches and roses, but...
We just drop points again. We're not supposed to.
No, I'm not saying...
So why are you coming up with these, like, damning conclusions? What's the panic? Did we not drop points on the
peaches? No, maybe I have... Maybe I have high standards for that team. Maybe my standards are way high for that team.
So I saw this on Twitter and I did not engage because I just found ridiculous. Now here I am on the podcast with you and you are saying the same thing these Twitter people are saying as well.
No, I'm just laying out some of the concerns that fans are having, and they are legitimate concerns.
Yeah.
Like, look, there's no running. But there's no running away from the fact that we lost a great coach at the start of the season, right? And then in order to replace that great coach, we ended up having three more coaches who are effectively now replacing that one coach.
No. We lost a great coach.
And yeah.
We ended up having two of his assistants and a new coach. So don't say three new coaches. I don't understand.
Nah, but it's different roles. So it's three new coaches now.
Because, no, it's not three new coaches.
Yeah, but you can't say the things that Rulan was doing last season are the same things that he's doing this season.
Why would he change?
Nah, but because the title of the job demands that he changes a bit.
How? Please tell me.
Wait, because last season, right, he was the assistant.
Are you telling me when Rulani was there before? Are you telling me he's never given a team talk?
No, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is there's a difference between being an assistant coach and being a co-coach. And you must remember, even Steve Compella is not listed as an assistant coach, but as a head coach. If I remember correctly, because one of the team sheets that we got, it showed all of these three guys. So you had Mangoba Ngcithi as the first.
We all know he's a coach, though. We all know this.
Yeah?
We all know this.
Nah, so
we all know that Steve Compella is an assistant coach. Like, we know that's what it is. Like, we all know that. Nah, and we're just trying to create...
Okay, let's put it this way.
I want to understand this, right? I find it disappointing that Sundowns fans are thinking like this. So just because now Peter's gone, right?
Yeah.
And now we have a new, not a new, but a reshaped technical team. Mm. Are we now going to go from game to game now? So when we beat Chiefs, everything is hunky-dory. See, we got it right. 1 point against TTM. Oh my goodness, this could be the beginning of the end. Is that where we are now? Are we going from game to game?
We are just spelling out some of the concerns that we have as fans. But what I'll say... Let's say after 10 games. Let's see where Sundowns is.
No, we want to see them. We want to see them after three games. We want to see them after three games, not 10 games.
No, but seriously, because you and me are both Sundowns fans, right? But me, I take things maybe in a bit more pessimistic way compared maybe to your way in terms of being optimistic.
Well, look, let me tell you something. I've watched my club absolutely wipe the floor with domestic competition for years, and I don't see any reason why it's going to change. Anyway, moving along. Feather, Golden Arrows, Supersport 3-1. 3-1. Golden Arrows, Supersport 3-1.
Kaitando Tembo is such a prolific coach for me. He understands the game. He knows the importance of managing a game and how he wants the team to play on the front foot. He's got a very young squad as well. Believes in young talent. such a young midfield as well in Mbulu, as well as Mukwena. Grant Kekana has been excellent for me thus far. Leighton Daniels, at some point, we can see that years have gone by. Ronan Williams as well. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people have forgotten about his mistake in the AFCON Cup of Nations when he made a silly mistake at the back there, but we're going forward. Golden Arrows are a team that should be...
I think Chiesa did not hear the score because he's...
No, I'm trying to break it down. No, I'm trying to break it down for you. Why Golden Arrows actually won?
Yeah.
I understand.
Chiesa.
No.
Mahaji was playing left.
No, the point is that he wanted to have a new system. You know, he's looking at some other.
What is this?
You know. So Pacera wasn't available. Remember?
No, I'm asking. What is
this? Yeah, yeah. You know, but I mean, if Caetano Tembo is gonna make a gamble like that, it tells you of how the coach is gutsy, and is making the call. Yeah, if you're a coach, you need to make a call.
So, okay, but I get that team didn't get a preseason, right? I get that. And obviously during preseason, preseason you try new systems, you try new formations. But this is the second game of... You have a chance to establish yourself. You know, we all know how competitive the DStv Premiership is.
Yes.
We all know that. And it's all about points on the board as quickly as you can get them. Do you think it was a good idea for him to risk that?
Look, it didn't work for him at the end. He will understand and have to go back to the drawing board. But him having to do that, wanting to play a different element into his side, wanted to try a new tactic. So, unfortunately, it didn't really kindly fall for him because now Golden Arrows picked it up that, oh, there is one factor that they do not have today in terms of going forward, in terms of their defensive structure and shape. So Golden Arrows saw the advantage of making sure that they exploit Mahashi's side, they whip in and deliver some couple of crosses in between the last line of defense and the goalkeeper, and it made it even much more harder for Ronan Williams to commit with their defense facing their own goals. Anything could have also possibly happened. So for me, I feel that Golden Arrows picked it up very well, and it was great to see Golden Arrows having to rise to the occasion like that and beating a big side like SuperSport. I mean, for them, it's a moral booster.
Excellent stuff. Jose, your adopted team won 1-0. Morocco Swallows beat Blue Panther Celtic 1-0. own goal by
Fumbi Zai.
I hope I'm pronouncing
Fumbi Zai.
So how did you find that game, Jose?
Look, it wasn't the most attacking of games to watch, but Swallows, when it counts, they'll find a way, and obviously they found a way with that own goal. For me, it's still nice to see guys like Vuyo Mary still being a key player in this league at the age of 36. In the first half, he even had a nice cross. Unfortunately, his striker couldn't take that chance. But it's 3 points. They can't really ask for more. And maybe Bloemfontein had slightly their eye on their semi-final this weekend. So for Celtic, they didn't really create much from this game. So I think maybe their eye was just turned in. They were just focused perhaps on the MTN 8 semi-final. But for Morocco Swallows, 3 points as a new team, that's great. even if it comes via an own goal, you take it. You don't look backwards. You just move forward. Yeah.
All right, Keza. DS Galaxy getting getting 3 points on the board, their first win, the DStv Premiership this season, beating AmaZulu, big spenders, by the odd goal. How was that?
I sometimes feel that typical of AmaZulu to have played a great game against Orlando Pirates, run route, gave them a run for their money, and then all of a sudden against TS Galaxy they drop points. But of course, they're playing against a coach that believes in South African style of play. Dan Smalisela has always believed in football players who are able to take on players, drop off their shoulders, skin them, a little bit of skill, trickery, as well as being quick off the mark, quick turns, the trajectory as well. And that tells you why TS Galaxy actually managed to win that game. But AmaZulu, for them, it's really going to be something that they'll need to look upon, because you play against Orlando Pirates, you play very well, you come back with a draw, and then you go on and you play with TS Galaxy, who they too themselves have also shown their ability in terms of making sure that they can win games and play with big teams as well. Unfortunately, their first game against Takumba Tamativiri, they drew that encounter because they know each other from the CLAD African Championship. So I feel that they really didn't go toe-to-toe that much. But TS Galaxy having to win by an odd goal means that it was a perfect plan executed, well-orientated game for them. 4 points in the back, a certain direction for them, and then Smalisela knows the importance right now. And they've also made quite impressive signings. Yeye Letsolonyane as well, having to make sure that he brings leadership qualities as well on the side as well. So for me, it was great seeing TS Galaxy beating the big spenders, like you say, by an odd goal, and they wanted it more.
All right. So, guys, before we move on to the MTN 8, before we whiz through, because we've gone over in terms of time, I just wanted to get your opinion on something. There's something I noticed. Chippa United, right? Whenever a team scores against them, right? And, you know, they coach Letonolo Siamas there, right? And whenever a team scores against them and they pan to the bench and they show the technical team, those guys always look so worried. And the thing is, they don't look like they're worried about the score. I'm sorry to laugh, but like they do, they look terrified.
Chipampenis is at the top there.
The coach killer, eh?
If you go on to sit for 6-7 games at Chippa United, you are lucky.
Why do coaches
keep
I mean, Rulani Mokoena practically didn't even get a chance to coach that team.
And he was loaned there. First time I've heard a coach being loaned. He was loaned to Chippa United.
He didn't even get a chance.
Who was loaned?
Rulani Mokoena.
Rulani Mokoena.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But didn't
he? Was a loanee.
Didn't he leave on his own accord?
No. Chippa Mpenis. It's the best. I tell you. That guy. I salute him.
Anyway. I mean, I don't salute him. I don't think that's any way to...
No, in terms of shifting coaches. No, in terms of the firing. I don't.
If a coach knows he's only going to get 6-7...
That guy can bring in 3 or 4 in coaches one in one season. Yeah.
Guys, okay.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm going to just need scores and then we close the show, right? I'm going to just need scores.
Yeah.
Orlando Pirates, guys, is first leg.
One nil Orlando Pirates.
Rossi, first leg. Super Sport United.
1-1.
1-1.
Yeah.
Bloemfontein Celtic, Super Sport, second leg. Score?
SuperSport 2, Bloemfontein Celtic 1.
Which means SuperSport goes through on a three-team aggregate. Okay, and then you did say 1-0 Kazakhis, right? I mean 1-0
Yeah.
Second leg, Kazakhis versus Orlando Pirates.
2-1 Orlando Pirates.
So Orlando Pirates go through 3-1.
Yeah.
So the final becomes SuperSport and Orlando Pirates.
Yeah.
All right. There you have it. There you have it. Big up the socials, Josi. Your socials this time.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. Twitter, it's KM Star. If you want to hear about anime and sports and football, because that's all we're talking about there. And then on Instagram, it's just Josi Midisa Esi. Facebook, Josi Midisa Esi. So. Yeah, if you're weird, don't be surprised if I don't accept your friend request.
All right.
Sorry, Forex. Yeah.
Yeah. You can find me on Facebook. It's simply Hleza Mathebula. And on Twitter, Tinyiko Hleza.
All right. And I myself on Twitter am underscore Tisetso M. And on Instagram, I am Disetso Mofokeng. And yeah, man. So collectively, you can find us on Twitter. That is at Football Converse, if I'm not mistaken. Josi.
Yeah, yeah.
Football Converse. Yeah. On Facebook, we are Football Conversations. And on Instagram, we are Football _ Conversations. And our website is www.footballconvo.co.za. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the 1-2 podcast, bringing you everything PSL, which means everything DSTV Premiership. See you next week.
Bye, Shop. Yes. Hola.
Shop. Hola.
That's it from the 1-2 podcast. For more episodes, follow Football Conversations on Facebook, at Football Converse on Twitter, and www.footballconvos.co.za. The 1-2 podcast, brought to you by Football Conversations.